You ever hear the phrase, "I don't do raggedy"? That was Mayor Johnson just a few days ago, as the collapse of his crisis of his own making began to harass him unmercifully. The school board resigns 40 of the 50 aldermen in Chicago, basically give him a vote of no confidence. The chaos ensues. And the kids aren't being educated. Kids can't read or do math in the single digits percentages. And Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org is here to help assess this and put it in proper perspective. Jeff Carlin is here as always, executive producer of WGN Radio and future teacher in Illinois. And I'm John Cass, executive editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Come and subscribe, $5 a month or $50 a year discounted. And where are you in this chaos? With Ted Dabrowski here with us, with the kids of Chicago being groomed not for anything else other than going to prison or becoming violent criminals. They can't read, they can't do math, they can't have a job. How are you going to deal with that? All this on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Did you or did you not ask Pedro Martinez to resign?
Now, as you know, I don't ever discuss personnel issues. I find it to be highly offensive, irresponsible, and raggedy, and I don't do raggedy.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall-style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
So I think of a liberal paradise where we're all progressive and we all do what's best for the children. And the children, it's all about, you know, teaching the world to sing. It's a beautiful day in the 60s. And we're up on a hill, me, Jeff, and Ted Dabrowski of Wire Points. We're sitting in the grass and we're singing, "We'd like to teach the world to sing." But that isn't the reality, is it? With the Chicago schools imploding, with the mayor of Chicago demanding that the school board go into $300 million more debt, a high cost of interest to support the Chicago Teacher Union candidates who will be running for the school board. I just don't understand the level of corruption that we're facing. And here to sort it all out is Ted Dabrowski of Wire Points, and Ted and Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio with me as always. Good morning, gentlemen. But how do we sort this out? What is going on, Ted?
No, good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, how do we sort it out? You're putting a big task on me. The mess is getting bigger. It's still the same mess, by the way. It moves along. I don't know, like a glacier. It takes out everything with it over time. It just gets worse and worse. But you know, we wrote about this crisis right now at CPS. You know, Mayor Brandon Johnson wants his way. The teachers union wants its way. And they're going to do whatever they can to kind of get anybody who's in the way out of the way. But I also wrote though that this is not that different from what's been going on for the last 50 years. The unions have progressively gained more power. Let's not forget who gives them that power. It's the lawmakers, right? The unions derive their powers from the lawmakers, and they're using that power to their fullest extent. And if you look along the 50 years, kids never learned to read. They never learned to do math. And so this is nothing more than a continuation of that. And it's just a reset of power. Every 3 to 5 years is a reset of power. The union strikes. They have a fight. It's all out in public. And then suddenly they solve it. They find money. They balance the budget, and kumbaya, and it's all for the kids. And we're going through the next phase of that right now. It's for me, it's not surprising. It's just the next step in the continuous erosion of Chicago. A very optimistic view.
Ouch. Ted, it's a bright view for Chicago going into the fall here as schools are back in session and revving. Well, it's. You know, the CTU has essentially devoured the whole system. I mean, they got the guy in power. They control, they have these elected school boards moving towards, which, good or for not. I mean, most places have it like that, so that's fine. But, that's right in their wheelhouse, power and activating people and getting voters to bend to their will. Where does it begin as far as the worst part of what you're seeing right now? I mean, let's start at the top, the very tip of the worst, and we'll work our way back. But what do you see as most egregious right now going on in City Hall as opposed in conservatives at CPS?
Well, let's start at the beginning, because I think we lose sight when we have all these big fights in public. We lose sight of what's the purpose of these schools, and it's to teach kids how to learn and how to think.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget about that. Now we're talking about the money and how expensive that loan is, $300 million. And we're going to get rid of the board members. Or the current board members have resigned. We're going to get new board members. And let's make sure we understand what, especially for minority kids, how bad it is. At CPS in 2023, only 8% of all Black children at CPS were at grade level in math, and just 17% in reading. So, right, that means, look at it the other way. 83% of kids can't read a grade level, and most of them can't. I mean, most of them are like several grades behind.
Right.
And 92% of them can't do math at grade level. So this is after spending $30,000 per student and all these fights we have about the kids and the union power and more class time, et cetera, et cetera. This is where we are. Hispanics, 14% can do math at grade level. Just 21% can read at grade level. So if you think about, if you're worried about Chicago and you're worried about its future, you have to start thinking about this school district that puts out, what is that going to be, like 275,000 minority kids into the Chicago system, right, in a generation. And they won't be ready for, if they weren't ready for the past economy, right, they're certainly not going to be ready for this one, which is, much more technologically driven, much more demanding. So what is going to happen when our workforce can't read and can't do math? And so whenever we talk about this school stuff, I keep coming back to this. I don't really care about the rest, because the rest is noise. And nobody talks about literacy. In these fights, you won't hear a single person talk about literacy, certainly not the people in charge. So that's the starting point, guys.
Well, what happens when they can't do math, when they can't provide for themselves in society, when they can't even function in society? In the ever-increasing, ever-technological society that we're building, what happens to them and what happens to the people that live near them?
Well, that's a big question, too. And I think we know the answer is they become more dependent on government. This is fascinating for me. Another part of this whole, what have we done? This is the piece I wrote when Johnson won. I said, what has Chicago done when he won when he became mayor?
Yeah.
Right. What has Chicago done?
My God, what have you done?
Right.
This is Earth.
Lightfoot was, you know, in many people's eyes on both sides, you know, horrific. She was horrible, yeah. Right? And, you know, she tried, you know, there's things I think she tried, but she just wasn't effective in the things she tried, and she was horrible in other things.
She ran up against a buzzsaw, the Democratic Party in this, you know, this county, in this area in Chicago, too.
And of course, you know, she cared more about equity and you know, the equity lens of how to manage a city, right, instead of merit and accountability and achievement. So we get rid of her, and what comes in her place? Somebody far, far worse. And, you know, and Chicagoans voted, you know, well, the few Chicagoans that voted him in. And so, you know, we have in Chicago, this is a really hard part of the governance part for me, is, you know, they love equity. They love all this progressive stuff. They love, you know, all this social justice. But then if you turn around, and now we can tie it back to education, when you look at the employment numbers, the unemployment numbers, Chicago for big cities has the worst black unemployment rate in the country. Yeah. So you know, so now to your question, John, well, we have more people dependent on government, more people unemployed, more people who will move towards crime. You know, I don't like to say that just because you can't read, you become a criminal. That's not true. But certainly the probabilities go up, especially if you're in Chicago in the South Side and West Side. So you know, add those things together, and then there's that other ugly thing that happens, which is the unwed births, right? I mean, if you look at that, 8 out of every 10 black children in Chicago were born to an unmarried mother. That's a phenomenal number. By the way, it's not just a Chicago thing; it's a Decatur thing and a Rockford thing, right. We're screwing up our cities because we don't have our kids learn, become good citizens, and then they get trapped in the cycle. And we've trapped them in the cycle because the schools we have don't teach them how to read.
Right, it's opportunity. I mean, everyone wants to talk about, oh, you know, there's no opportunity in these places, no opportunity. And yeah, it starts at the school. The school's the opportunity to, you know, step one towards that better dream, the American dream. I mean, that's what this place, whole system was built on, is education, you know, to begin with. Just organizing schools and making sure we had kids in school and they were learning and they were becoming better students and better citizens. So, Ted, I mean, what we've gone off the rails. I mean, this CTU essentially is a monopoly on everything going on here.
Yeah, well they do. And this is where I think if we were to, well, if somebody ever takes over again that has power that wants to at least talk about the right things, we have to unwind all these laws that give unions power. You know, the CTU uses all their power, but, you know, it's the state lawmakers that give them the power to strike. Mm-hmm. It's the state lawmakers that passed Amendment 1, or, you know, well, they put it on the ballot and then lied about what it was. So Amendment 1 got on the ballot, and now we've enshrined in the Constitution these amazing public union powers. No state in the country gives their public unions the powers that Illinois does. So we shouldn't be surprised that they use it against us. I mean, we've legalized their corruption, and they're doing it, you know, day in and day out, and we shouldn't be surprised. So the only way to end that stuff is to clip their powers, and that means you got to go to the laws and change them. And how many people want to do that right now? I mean, a lot of people may want to do that, but not many lawmakers will take that on right now.
Well, the fellow that was involved with perpetuating a lot of the public union power is Mike Madigan, Speaker of the House, longtime Speaker of the House. And he's facing trial. Trial begins as we wrap this podcast up. It begins Tuesday. I don't see him escaping this just because of the nature of politics. When you have a politician so vilified, I'm not judging the facts of the case, I'm saying the politics of it make it very difficult for him to get away.
Yeah.
And as a result, let's say he's removed from the stage.
Well, there's changing of power there, John, right? I mean, there's this old world, how you do in Chicago way, to the new world, how you do in Chicago way in Mayor Johnson and that type, right? I mean, so he has to go. He has to be taken out to pasture and made an example of, to say, hey, look, no, we corruption with someone else.
You're just changing the voices. you're going from meat eaters and scotch drinkers to soy boys, okay? But the fact is, now the progressives, the left wing, runs it,
right?
And Ted made a comment that said the unions, the Democratic Party, the political structure is responsible for, the legislature is responsible for this power. I would suggest that the people of Illinois are responsible because
absolutely
they're Democrats and they elect this stuff. So they want it, right?
Well, they're certainly responsible. Now, you know, it's, you can blame a little bit the media and all that too, right? Because they sell, especially, you know, they sell all kinds of stuff to people, and people are either naive, they're uninformed, they're unengaged. It's their own fault, but they buy a lot of the stuff that comes from the media and that comes from politicians. And there's not enough of us, including the corporate class, to push back.
Intellectual curiosity like that.
And then there's the lack of fortitude to push back against, you know, against a Rahm Emanuel, against a Lightfoot, against a Pritzker. They don't push back anymore. Now you're finally starting to see the first stages of that, but you know it's not the powerful that are pushing back. It's a lot of the blacks are seeing all this migration stuff going on. They're the ones finally pushing back. But anyway, you're right. It is the people, they vote for this stuff. And they allow these laws to pass, which I'd love to talk about for a second when you get it. Go ahead.
Please do. But before we open that door, can we close this one? Because I think that all this, in my mind, as a broken down old political reporter, I see this all in the lap of one fat boy, which is Governor Fat Boy himself, Governor Pritzker. He's the beneficiary of all this stuff. He's a beneficiary of the union power, the Democrat control, the Democrat machine, which is run by the Chicago Teachers Union. He's the gargantuan at the cave eating whatever he can grab and devouring the entire state. Shouldn't he be held to account too?
Oh, heck yeah. Right. And to finish your first point about Madigan, you brought up Madigan. I think, Madigan should get his due. If they prove it and they got him and all that, sad for me. And I just we got to set the example, but I don't think it matters. You know, this is such a corrupt place right now. I don't think it matters if Madigan gets busted and spends, you know, whatever few years he has left in jail. Chris Welch and all these guys who've taken over after him have known exactly how to get into the machine. They've changed it up as Jeff just said, but it's their machine now. They know how to drive it now. They drive it differently. I'm not sure what the right words are. I'm trying not to be nasty, but they're milking the system for what it's worth. And then, now you bring in Pritzker. Well, Pritzker, helped make sure that Amendment 1 was passed. He helped make sure that those union powers are, enshrined in the Constitution. And here's what's interesting. So in a place like Texas, this is the two extremes, right? In a place like Texas, it's against the law for a school district to negotiate with the union. In other words, the unions, they can organize, they can become a union, but they have no power to like strike and negotiate with the city government. So it's they can negotiate, but the city government, well, I should say, anyway, the powers are so different that in Texas, the school district cannot. It's illegal to negotiate with the unions. And the other extreme here, our school districts must negotiate with the school, with the teachers' unions. And so that's the difference in laws and the powers derived from the unions. And that's why we're in such trouble.
I mean, this state-to-state difference, I mean, so did... That's the thing I think it stands out to people. They don't realize that there are other options out there. There are other ways to do things. And it's just, creating this situation where we've got even it's not just Chicago. I mean, Chicago schools are bad shape, but a lot of the state schools are in bad shape because of the way formulas are drawn up and the way we hold standards together. But wasn't there just a story out a couple of weeks ago how we've talked about this before, how there's been this push by, principals and the CPS in general to pass kids who have no ability to do anything that they're supposedly to have been qualified for. And that we just came out that all these, these immigrants, migrants, these kids who are here on, whatever whatever standing in their status, but they go through like, oh, just push past them through because we got to make sure we look like we're churning people out, even though that's not a reality. I mean, how do they get away with that? Is that legal? Not legal in other states? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, you know, that's why I say it's just like this legal corruption.
Right.
We've been doing this all along, and it's not just – so it was very interesting that there was this attention given to the fact that school districts were passing these, you know, migrant children along without them being able to perform, you know. And, mm-hmm. and maybe that's true, right? Maybe they can't even speak English, but they're passing them anyway. But that's not new news. We pass along kids that can't read every right. single day, in, not just in Chicago, but across the entire state. And this has been one of the things we've tried to make a lot of noise about. They can't read. Move them along. It doesn't matter. Just pass them through. It's why, you know, if you look at right, like I always forget my number, my precise numbers, but 80% of minority kids graduate from CPS, but only about 15% of them can read at grade level. So that's the, you know, yeah. they've moved through the system for, you know, for whatever it is, 12 years, never were able to really read properly, and yet they're going to graduate anyway. And that's the lie of the system, and that's the hypocrisy of the system, and that's, you know, John, you and we were talking earlier, and that's the racism of the system. Move them up, move them out, get them out.
You're associating the television show in your piece, the recent, most recent piece that I read, Good Times, 60 years ago. Tell us about that, why you chose that to illustrate this point.
You know, I'm trying to remember how I ran to it, but one of my first TV shows I remember was Good Times, and it was 1974, so I was 10 years old. And of course, I don't remember this episode then. You know, Norman Lear, you know, he's certainly not a right wing guy. He saw in Chicago what he didn't like, and so he did a episode where JJ was a junior, and his parents knew at home every day he never studied, didn't know anything about his classwork. They were very unhappy with what he was doing at home, and then they found out that he was moved on to a senior year, and they were shocked. And so they went to go visit the principal, and you know, the principal, this is 1974. The principal says, "Hey, listen, sorry, man, but we just got to move these kids along. You know, we have this thing with the unions. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. We just get the kids along. The kids get their diploma. Everybody should be happy." And this is 50 years ago, where here we are talking about that social promotion about moving those kids along automatically. He was making right. fun of it and ridiculing it back then. And now they perfected it, right? Now we're doing it to minority students. I mean, to immigrant students as well. And nobody cares.
Right. And it's, you know, and you guys also had a piece out about, you know, the idea that, you know, this, we got putting out an abysmal product, unfortunately, in students. And then we're putting out these money that's just throwing out loans after loan after money after junk. And the school's junk rated. I mean, it's not putting out anything. Nobody wants to put money into the system. And now we're just pouring debt on top of that. I mean, how is that even legal in the state that we can keep, you know, subsidizing yeah. at such an insane amount without an audit, maybe, or something, some sort of forensic? Hey, the school system's clearly messed up. What's going on here?
Yeah. So, you know, CPS has been junk rated. Chicago was junk rated until all that COVID money came out and it pulled them right one. You know, they're now just one notch above junk. So it's been a financial mess on top of the fact that kids can't read. And this is why I say, does it really matter if a school board quits and a new school board comes on? You know, these are Johnson's previous people, and now he's going to put new people. And are they different from the people that Lightfoot had or Rahm Emanuel had or Daley had? Because in all cases, kids can't read. In all cases, they just push them along. In all cases, they just graduate them even if they can't read. So let's not make a big deal about that. Let's bring the big deal to the fact that kids can't read. And what are we going to do about it? Which, you know, I'm going to open up that door. Two things. One is, you know, the word bankruptcy at some point is going to pop up for CPS. Mm-hmm. And two is massive right. school choice, universal school choice. Give people the power to take their kids out and go somewhere else. Until we do that, we're trapping all these kids in this school system, or they're leaving anyway. Over 150,000 black kids have left in the last 20 years. They're leaving anyway. So either we do something better for them to stay in the city, or they'll get out anyway.
I can't believe anyone with a reasonable education would ever commit their children to such a system where the colleagues of the children aren't literate, So therefore, that's going to drag all the kids down. You know, when I was a kid back in the day, by cracky, I mean, we read 1984 at the beginning of high school or eighth grade. But now I think that would be a college course for somebody, for some of these kids.
Yeah, it'd be too hard.
It would be too difficult to grasp it. They wouldn't be able to understand the nature of the politics. They would not be able to assess it. And that's how you get devolve into barbarism. My God. I mean, don't we see, do you see it, Ted? You and Glennon see it at wire points. Jeff sees it, a future teacher. I see it.
Well, you know, but the big problem, John, Jeff, is the system doesn't tell the truth. The system tricks parents. So, you know, you've got a lot of, you know, lower income, struggling parents in Chicago. Certainly, you know, a big, you know, poverty is a big part of that. And there's people who are struggling to make ends meet. So when the school passes your kid to the next grade, they're kind of telling you, well, maybe my kid's not doing great, but he's doing well enough to pass, right?
Right, right.
You're and already... so they move him along the system and you feel good. And then if you see some of the school designations, they'll say, you know, they give the CPS and the State Department give good designations to these schools. Like they're, you know, that makes it sound like they're doing well. Then you've got, Pedro Martinez, the head of the school district, saying, he said the other day, our high schools couldn't be doing better, right? I mean, you know, his own high school, right? His alma mater, you know, his alma mater, which is Juarez and Pilsen, you know, a big name for the schools. 5% of kids can read at grade level. 3% can do math at grade level. You know, Martinez has been CEO for 3 years. He was CFO and budget director for like 6 years. He could have had his own personal stamp of influence on that school district to make it better. But yeah, Today it's 5% and 3%. So he, you know, this is what parents hear. And then parents see their kids graduate and they're happy because they think that the school district is doing something. And it's not, you know, and this is the problem, which is why I keep harping on school choice.
What is the next step now that the Johnson selects the new board, whatever? What happens next?
Yeah, so he'll blame the system, just like he keeps saying, you know, all the stuff that he's taken over has been decades of problems. And so, you know, this isn't my fault. I'm just trying to do the next good thing.
Right, right.
He'll do all that. He'll get that board to do what they need to do. In theory, they'll do what they need to do to, quote, balance the budget. And it'll be the typical stuff, right? Oh, we found some efficiencies here.
Sure.
We found some couple hundred million in TIF revenues here. And we won't do 300 million because that's not right. We'll do 150 million, right? They'll do something like that. And so everybody will kind of come together, kumbaya.
Where does that money go? The 150 million that they're going further into debt for? Where does it go? Or the 300 million?
Oh, it's
I'd say it goes to pay off the unions, pensions, and it takes care of the political arrangements that the union has made with Democrats to elect Democratic legislators.
Well, amen. Sure, you can't spend $500 million to get a mayor elected and not get your beak wet. I mean, come on.
No, right. They're negotiating a contract right now, so they need the money to pay the raises. And you know, with all this COVID inflation, et cetera, these teachers want good raises.
Raises, Ted. Come on, they're great.
Sorry, yeah, great raises. My apologies. And then you get this. There's this not to get wonky, but there's this $175 million pension payment that keeps it's a hot potato between the city and CPS.
Right.
And it's, you know, so they need money for that. So the money's got to come from somewhere. And don't forget, you know, here we are focused on CPS and its $1 billion. Deficit, but Chicago has its own. The city of Chicago has its own $1 billion deficit. So you know, Johnson's kind of in a beef here. So he's trying to figure it out, and he has. You know, let me just be clear: he has no idea, and his team, I don't think, has any idea what they're doing. They're just trying to scramble and pay off what they can. You know, just borrow what they can and move on for the next year.
When the you've been around businesses long enough to know that there are sometimes when the business will. They'll play their woke, whatever they have to do, play the woke, you know, scream the woke mantra to save a CEO's job. But ultimately, the shareholders demand accountability. And in my mind, that day is coming for the city of Chicago, for the public schools, for the state of Illinois, when the shareholders, the people with the money, don't want to lose it, what will they do?
Yeah, this is a big problem, John, because, you know, we were actually in the same position in 2019 where, you know, CPS is already junk rated, the city was junk rated. And, you know, for those of us in the business world, and I've seen it all my life, I was in the finance world and I watched, and I was in the international markets, and I watched countries get penalized and punished for bad behavior. You know, it happened all the time. And so here we were in Chicago thinking that finally the fiscal side of things would bring some discipline to Chicago. And boom, there came COVID, billions of dollars flow in Illinois, billions of dollars.
Happy
days. Billions make it into the CPS budget, billions make it into the city budget, and nobody cared about finances for 4 years. And now it's back. Those same cracks are there, but we have a worse leader than we did, you know, 4 years ago. You're right. Now the question is there another white knight? Are they waiting for the next bailout from, you know, they're asking Pritzker for money, right? They want $1 billion from Pritzker. Pritzker so far has said no, and he's right to say no for many reasons. If Trump becomes president, I don't think there's a whole lot of getting any kind of bailout. So, maybe you're right this time. Maybe. But, you know, what I want to caution, too, is on incrementalists. There's a lot of people who would be happy just to get somebody a little better than Johnson. And, you know, we don't need a little bit than Johnson. We need like big change. We don't incrementalists.
Big wave.
Yeah.
I don't need somebody half infected.
Correct.
This is the problem we're facing. And we need the sense of urgency we don't have to endure or continue. We don't have it. There's no cultural sense of urgency in Illinois. They're all up the, you know, this is where you throw it all together. Media is all about feelings, not about analysis. It's all about worrying about the feelings of the teachers. And I love the teachers too. I'm married to one. My son's a teacher. I love teachers, but we need hard heads. We need hard-headed responses to get these kids to read or flunk them or what. I don't know what.
Yeah, well, I think for the most part, you know, this whole idea, and we're seeing it, you know, Iowa just passed a universal school choice program. So anybody in the state who wants a education savings account, which is better than a voucher, Indiana now has like 97% of all kids there can access a voucher. We're seeing states across the country. We're seeing states across the country move to universal school choice. So the good news is there in that there's a big movement that's liberating families from being stuck in bad schools. Now, unfortunately, you know, we're in a different state, but you know, every parent needs to know that that's something that's out there. Hey, why does every kid in Iowa get that choice? Why does every kid in Indiana get that choice?
Wisconsin, don't come to Indiana. I don't want anyone coming to Indiana. I'm tired of it.
Well, no, but I mean, but we should have the same program, right? And so I think that's the big opportunity. And you know what? I can tell you, and I have some optimism for the first time in about 15 years where, you know, sometimes the pendulum swings too far. And that creates the opportunity. And when you're seeing the blacks upset with the migrants, I think when you see some of the cultural issues in the schools, whether it's the sex ed stuff going all the way down into kindergarten, or you know the parents losing their rights on things like transgender, there's enough family oriented, conservative oriented, or even just let's say common sense oriented families out there. And if we could properly get this data out there that your kid can't read, right? Look for something different. And unfortunately, we haven't been prepared. Look, John, we talked about Lightfoot. She was horrible, but we weren't organized enough to capture the opportunity. We got her out of the way, and then we couldn't capture an opportunity to do something better. We got something worse. Now we have a chance, maybe, right? And I do think that I think Johnson's in deep, deep trouble overall, and I don't see how he gets out of it, period.
No.
So now the question is, you know, let's, you know, what is it, 3 years from now or 2.5 years from now? Are we ready? Hell no, we're not ready. Is there a platform and principles and data and an argument? Is it ready for us to take over? No, but it should be. And so that's, I think, the big task for those of us in the movement to get ourselves organized and prepared.
Ted Dabrowski, Wire Points, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, guys.
You've helped set it up and put it so that the people can understand what's going on, because they must, if they care about their city, if they care about their property, if they care about having a place to live. Chicago won't be a place to live if we continue down this road. It won't end.
It won't end well.
Ted, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Thanks, Ted.
For Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org, putting all this in perspective. And for Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, the executive producer and the producer here on the Chicago Way podcast. And for John Cass, me, your host and executive editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.